quick recap. Week one, what did we do? Anyone know? Anyone want to guess? Destiny, cool. So we worked through Destiny. Then week two, we talked about... guys, yeah, we talked about Giants, yeah? Then what, week three, we talked about... Friends, yeah, cool. And what do we talk about next? Betrayal, right? And then what else did we talk about? Revenge, yes, awesome. And then this week, we're going to be talking about trials. I forgot to click through each of those. Trials this week. So before we start, maybe you're here today and you haven't, maybe there's someone here who hasn't given their life to Jesus, or maybe someone, people did. Irrespective of that, there's a disclaimer to our faith that most people forget. Trials are promised, not avoided, as a Christian. Things are going to happen, man. Like, because of your faith and because of what you have, you're going to go through things, and it's going to be hard, you know? Maybe you guys did go through a rough week this week, and I'm glad you're here and you've chosen to spend your time with us. So if it was this week or whenever, I want you guys to just share what's a difficult thing that you've gone through or been going through. I imagine one of the difficult things is hearing my voice so loud. So if you could turn down my volume, please. Thank you. But yeah, like, what's a difficult thing? I know for me, 2 hours of hand washing laundry is it. Like, I can't do that. I do that, but it's just too hard. So if you want to share in your small groups, I'll give you some time for that. Cool. You guys can definitely, like, share more about that stuff afterwards. I have a sense that, you know, with this kind of thing about difficult times that we go through, it's always great to sort of share with people, right? That, you know, maybe I'm not going through a great week or a great thing or whatever. And if you've noticed, every time somebody comes up here, they usually share a story with you guys about maybe like a giant they faced, or a story with friends or whatever. And I'm going to be doing that right now. And you know, guys, like, so I was having an amazing few weeks with God. Everything was great. You know, my Instagram was popping. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, everyone in school is like, hey, Mike, what's up? You know, I'm getting good marks. My lecturers are wanting to have coffee with me. Like, you know, everything is nice. Life is too much. And I also had this memory stick. I don't know where it got it from. I think I stole it from my mom's friend. And I use it for all of my stuff, my work, my play, you know, all that good stuff. So obviously, it was a part of this amazing journey that I was going on with God throughout those few weeks. And then one day, I couldn't find my memory stick. It was weird. Like, I was in one day, I had it, and I couldn't find it the next day. And then I asked God, hey, homie, where's this memory stick at? And he was like, it's in the house. Just go look for it. It's in the house. So I'm like, okay, cool. You know, no stress. You know, it's obviously going to be in the house. So I struggled to find it. I looked in my room. You know, looked in my... You know when you look like a crazy person in your own house? Like, you're looking for... You're like, no one knows what's going on. You're like, you're flipping over beds. You're dismantling your couch. You know, you're opening your fridge because some reason I would put it in the fridge. And you're in your bathroom, you're everywhere. I couldn't find that thing. I was starting to wonder, did God actually say... Was it actually God that said that? And this is going to sound crazy, but what actually started happening was, because I started to doubt God's voice, right? I started to have a deep depression about whether I could actually hear God or I could actually speak to him. And it was weird. It was so intense. I couldn't go to my classes like I used to. I wasn't interacting with my friends. My friends knew there was something wrong, but I wasn't talking to them about it. My marks were going down, and it was crazy. I was having demonic dreams. I was like in such a horrible space. When people would come for motivation, or there was one time when somebody came for motivation or talk, and I was just having an intense pain in my chest because I was thinking so many horrible suicidal thoughts. I even had to go home. immediately after that lecture. And, you know, it's not the first time that this happened like a few weeks ago, this crazy episode I was going through, and it's been a thing this year, actually, that I've been dealing with and I've been struggling with. And the worst thing about it is that up until recently, I haven't told anyone about it. I was keeping it to myself. And it was all of this stupid stuff. Like, it was a memory stick. It's a memory stick. I lost a memory stick. But it took me on an intense journey of just not believing that I could really speak to God and that God was really there. Because the issue was, that wasn't about the memory stick. It was about the things that were being brought up, issues that I had with my parents, issues that I had with myself. I felt like, you know, I'm into this Christianity thing, so I should have changed by now, but I haven't. You know, I felt like so many things were happening, and I didn't understand why something like that brought it up. But then I told my friends eventually, because it was getting to a point where I was premeditating. So I told my friends about it. And then my friend was like, okay, come to my place and then we can talk about it more. So I went to my friend's place and then she was like, what would happen if you didn't find the memory stick? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll buy a new one or whatever. It's like, no, you're not understanding. What happens if God maybe didn't say that? Is he still God? Is he still good? Is he still relevant in your life? And I want to take you through this journey, actually, what actually happened. But I also want to talk about David, too, because David also sort of went through a similar trial. And we're going to be looking at that, you know. So I don't know, you know, I think you guys were expecting me to talk about Bathsheba or that other thing with Saul when Saul tries to kill him, whatever. But I'm not going to do that. That stuff is too boring. I want to actually talk about Ziklag. Everyone say Ziklag. Come on, say it like you actually know what that means. Ziklag. Ziklag, yeah, it sounds cool. It sounds like a cool word. Anyway, Ziklag is a city, I think. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 8, right? So here's the passage. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. So the context of this was, there was, obviously, you know, David, he's out here killing homies, and they were campaigning, and on the third day of doing all that good stuff, they came back to Ziklag. Now, the Amalekites, who were their enemies, of course, had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag and burnt it and had taken captive the women and all who were in it, both young and old. They killed none of them but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Then it goes on and it says, David's two wives have been captured. Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. His own men, by the way. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abithar, the priest, the son of Amalelech. Bring me that effort here. And Abithar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, God answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. So what does King David teach us about trials? Keeping in mind, he wasn't king at that time when all this was happening. Like, it was still a bit, he was just a regular guy. He was an amazing guy. Slayer of 1,000s or thousands or whatever, you know, but he wasn't king yet. One of the greatest things that I think we can learn from him, from this passage, that you're not alone. You might feel like you're a hammer trying to beat in a screw, as in you don't have the tools to deal with the things you're going through. But I'm a wrench trying to, like, screw in a nail, if you don't do DT, it's fine. I also hated that subject. My point is that someone else might not have the same struggle, exact same struggle as you, but they're also inequipped as well. So why is that important? Why does that matter? I feel like there are people here who are going through things and they feel alone. And we come and we preach, no, guys, you're not alone. You know, there's community, whatever, whatever, whatever. And you know that. You know in your head that you're not alone, but you feel alone. And you feed that feeling. Because the reality is, if you feel like you're the only one going through what you're going through, then you give that thing power. You give that issue power. You give, you don't need to talk. No one, who can you talk to if you're the only one who's going through what you're going through? Who can you speak to if you're the only one who understands the pain that you're experiencing? No one. And that's the issue with loneliness, is that as you feed it, it feeds on you, actually. It feeds on your psyche, on your soul. And there's a reason that, that's the reason I put this passage there. It says Romans chapter 12, verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. The context of that passage, right, which I repeat just now, is Paul soon afterwards starts talking about how we're part of a body and a body has different parts and everything works together to glorify God. And no, the whole body is not an ear. The whole body is not a tongue. The whole body is not a hand. It's different parts of the body that come together to function. So each part, let's say I hit my hand, oops, and it hurts, right? I'm going to use my other hand to maybe put a bandage on or to put some disinfectant if I scratched it, whatever, whatever. Or I'm going to use my eyes to see where is it hurt. I'm going to use my nerves in my body to feel. My point is that other parts of the body come and they help. Even though that part of the body is going through a tough time, it almost feels like your entire body feels that specific part's pain and reacts to it and does something about it. And I just want to encourage you that you're not alone. Whatever you're going through, it's probably really tough. I one of the things that scares me deeply is that what I've been going through these past 3 weeks, some of you might be going through that same thing, and we're not speaking to each other about it. But you're not. And Jesus knows what you're going through. That was the point of the cross. You know? Why would God do all of that stuff if he had no actual comprehension of how much suffering humanity was going through? You know, why would he go through such drastic measures if it wasn't such a big deal? If humans didn't really need to be saved, would Jesus die on the cross? No. He realizes that people are going through some real stuff. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loves us. He loves us. And if you love someone, I feel like, I don't know if you're sitting next to your best friend right now or you're sitting next to somebody. I know, maybe think of your best friend. Let's think of somebody who you're close to, or a sister, a brother. If they're going through something right now, whether you understand that thing or not, you want them to tell you, right? Right? Yes? Yes? No? Not really? I'm going to hope that you guys want them to tell you what they're going through, because you feel for them, you empathize with them. And that's what I want you guys to understand, is that we are a community, we are a body of Christ. And if you can't open up here and receive healing and receive comfort here, you're not going to really receive it anywhere else. Especially if your faith and your hope is in God. That's what I want to talk about in the next point, is that God's word is enough. Many people don't preach about that book because it's quite intense. I don't know if you've read it. I kind of have, and then I stopped because it was quite intense. But then I just started again, and when I finished it, I realized how important this is. I mentioned to you guys that my friend asked me if God didn't come through with the memory stick, what was going to happen? What, you're going to just stop believing? And it was convicting because that's the same question that in this book specifically the enemy asks. You know, if you look at David, and David in the situation he goes through, you know, if you read the Psalms, and you look at how he's crying out to God because he feels so many things, and people are attacking him and trying to kill him, or friends are betraying him, or all this good stuff. But he says, but I'm going to still put my faith and my trust in you. You know? That guy was going through the most. I feel like you guys should read those books and see. He was going through the absolute most. Like, everyone he knew, well, most of the people he knew, was probably stabbing him in the back. Probably wanted him dead. Like, his own son tried to kill him. You know that? Did you know that his own son tried to kill him? Yes? No? Well, yeah, he did. I don't know how you would feel if your kid was trying to do that, but I'll beat my kid upside the head if they try to kill me. Like, it's real. And you go through all that stuff, and you just start to wonder, is God really there? Did he really say what he said? And I know we're talking about David in this series, but I wanted to refer to this because I feel like, for me, what God revealed is that I found Jesus, or I've given my life to Jesus because I expect him to do things for me. I expect him to change me. I expect him to, you know, make me a new person. But if think about your friend again. Think about David. David, you know, was going through the most with these men. These men wanted to kill him, basically. They wanted to put an end to him. Did David get angry and then decide, nah, I'm going to, you know, whatever. No, he cares about his men, you know? When they were about to give him a stone, he went to God and was like, let me go give these men their wives and their children back, their stock and everything. I feel like if you're thinking about your best friend right now in your mind, you're not, I pray that you're not friends with them because of the things they can give you. Because that's not how friendship works. I hope that if you have a relationship with your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or your cousins or whoever, that the basis of that relationship is not that I get something out of it, but that I just love them. And that's it. That's all that matters. Why is it any different with God? Don't get me wrong. God will always come through. I believe that. But I also believe that true love, what true love looks like, is unconditional. It's that no matter what happens, I still think you're amazing. I still think you're good. I still trust you. It says in the word, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It's basically saying you don't put your faith on even the things that you need to live on a day-to-day basis. Don't put your faith on that. Put your faith on God and what he says and what's real. And do that irrespective of whatever might happen. What if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't go into the fire because they were afraid? You guys remember that story? They went into the fire and they're like, our God will save us. But even if he doesn't, he's still good. That's the kind of faith that God wants to cultivate in us. And it's not hard. You guys, I believe it in my heart. You guys do that for your friends. You do that for your family. Because that's what relationship is. That's what love is. It's unconditional. It doesn't matter what it is, what's going on. And safe to say, right, I did find my memory stick. And it was in the house, like God said it would be. I didn't find it for a long time, but I found it. So God's word is real, and it is powerful, and whenever he says something, it's truth. But he doesn't want you to only put your faith in him so that things can go right in your life. He wants you to just have a relationship with him, like you have a relationship with anyone else. And so don't feel like his word is true. Know that it is. And even if something doesn't work out immediately, trust him and love him no matter what happens in your life. So yeah, guys, taking that all into consideration, what I want you guys to do, I want you to reevaluate what you shared in that first question. I know I repeated that first question, but there's a reason. Because I want you to now think about the trial that you're going through. I want you to name it if you haven't named it. I want you to tell that to your group. And then I want you to ask how you're trusting Jesus for victory through that season, through that difficult thing. And then I want you to ask, will you still trust him no matter the outcome? And if so, why? If so, why not? And yeah, I'm just going to give you guys some time for that. Awesome. I hope you guys were able to like really unpack that stuff. So I'm just going to wrap up real quick. The enemy always takes the risks when he touches you. Why do I say that? It's a gamble because whenever we go through trials, one of two things can happen. One, we can lose hope and we can lose our faith in God, or we can grow so much closer to him. And really, our faith or our character in Jesus becomes so much stronger. It's either or. And ultimately, you get to choose which one of those is going to be. You know, that's the amazing thing about our faith, is that we have power to truly decide what the outcome of a trial or a tough time is going to be, and whether or not Jesus is going to reign or the trial is going to reign. Because it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's something as stupid as this or if it's something bigger and realer. It's the entire point of trials or of things is to just take your focus away from the cross. Just to take your focus away from who God is. That's literally all the enemy can do to you, all the trials can do to you. But if you choose to keep focusing on God, keep focusing on Jesus, no matter what it is you're going through, I promise, guys, from the depth of my heart, I promise God will come through. It came through for me. There are deeper things than this stupid memory stick that have happened in my life that I've trusted God for and that he's come through for. And I feel like he's going to do the same for you. So let's just pray. Father, thank you so much that you were willing to give your life for us before we could give ours to you. That you loved us first. And Lord, whatever selfish reasons we might have to have committed our lives to you, Lord God, that those reasons be tested in our trials. I pray that, Lord, you would strengthen us, like you strengthened David in the moment where he basically lost everything, and that you would help us push through that tough time. Lord, thank you so much that when we ask you, Lord, can I overtake this? You say yes every time. And we don't need to ask what will happen afterwards because we know your word is truth. And we pray that, Lord God, in our lives, Lord, help us to yield to you any doubt, any shame, and help us to trust you in the toughest times of our lives because you are God and that you understand, Jesus, what we go through. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. So we need to be doing things like praying to God and speaking to him every time we go through stuff. And also we need to be engaging with his word. So this week we're going to be talking about trials, obviously, on the WhatsApp group. So if you're not in a WhatsApp group, please sign up. And we're going to be sharing daily devotions on that stuff. And so you can engage with that. And if you're going through a tough time, if you're going through some rough stuff, please, I urge you to read the word and to really journey with us. But next week, we're going to be talking about power. What is it? How do we handle it? All that good stuff. Who is this ugly white person there? And yeah, it's going to be amazing. So come through and have an awesome week.